It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along. So lots going on in the show this evening. Dan McDonald is going to join us this hour. A brilliant night for Bose last night. And Jack Grealish to Man City is happening. 100 million sterling, thank you very much. A British transfer fee record. So Dan is on the way this hour. We'll be talking to Jack Woolley as well. Really impressive 22-year-old Taekwondo Olympic hopes dashed last week, the first Saturday of the Games, really. I think a lot of us heard the devastation in Jack Woolley's voice as he tried to make sense of losing his opening fight when he was very much there to win a medal, if not gold. So Jack's going to join us this evening and give us his thoughts on it all. We'll be talking basketball later on as well. The remarkable story of Giannis Antetokounmpo with Miron Fader. And then Wednesday night rugby, Matt Williams and Rory O'Connor on the way after 8 o'clock. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, good evening.
How are you, Joe?
And Will O'Callaghan, hello to you.
Joe, Richie, how are you getting on?
We're all very good. So Giannis on the way. Remarkable story. I think most people fairly au fait with Giannis and his exploits in the NBA. He is Greek, I suppose, born in Greece to Nigerian parents, but they had no official status, and therefore he had no official status for a very, very long time. They love him now, don't you worry, but for a very long time, until he was about 18, he had no papers, and he was plucked somehow on the basis of some scouts seeing some video footage. I mean, he hadn't come through the collegiate system, and he went over to the Milwaukee Bucks, and they were a lowly small-time franchise, and suddenly they are this year NBA champions in the last couple of weeks, and Giannis is very much the man. And so Miron Fader is going to join us. She's been writing a book about him for like the last year, and that they went and won the NBA title in the last couple of weeks as the book has been released is a major bonus. So we're looking forward to that chat. That is on the way. Olympics obviously ongoing, Will. Just in case, by the way, you were in any doubt about the IOC and how they see the games, and frankly just how their priorities are very much in order, I just clicked on a story there. I hadn't seen it until just now. So Jamaica's Elaine Thompson-Herah won two gold medals. She won gold in the 100 metres and the 200 metre dash as well. And so she was very happy. She put it up on Instagram. She had some pictures of like her family celebrating her gold medals and some clips of the races, and was promptly banned by Instagram because you can do a lot of things. You cannot share footage of the Olympic Games without the IOC say so. So she was kicked off Instagram for 2 days. Well, you got to love the Olympics.
It's the quickest way to get banned on social media. Either the IOC, FIFA, UEFA are pretty good at handing out strikes along the way if you put up copyrighted footage as well. You can do all manner of other things. You can abuse people all you want on social media. You'll probably just get a warning. But put up copyrighted footage and your account will very swiftly be put into the ball corner, as happened there. So, yeah, I mean, you feel for the athletes, because quite a few of them, either them or their social media team, make up clips which have a bit of the footage in it, understandably. Sometimes shot filmed possibly with a camera up to a TV, but still it kind of makes part of the scene as well. And the IOC won't win any friends, but at the same time they will feel that their copyright is worth maintaining in the most litigious way possible. And so therefore it doesn't matter if you're the athlete that makes the memories belong to the IOC, Joe, and if you go over that line, they will get you stung.
They will let you share broadcaster footage, which the broadcasters have paid lots of money for. So if you want to put NBC all over your Instagram, they're okay with that. Great people at the IOC. This is the Olympic spirit. But Richie McCormick, McCormick, I'm simply trolling you here by not getting to the top story. Amazing stuff. Bose, 2-1 winners against Pauk last night at the Aviva Stadium. They were 2-0 up. They go to Greece, obviously, for the second leg. It's an extraordinary achievement. Dan McDonald's going to be on later on, and we had a bit of a chat earlier, Dan and I, and he was saying this is a really young Bose team, a lot of really good young Irish players, a few foreign players thrown in as well, and very technical team, and they're doing obviously extraordinarily well, and doing very well in Europe in particular, and suited to Europe. This is still, though, a huge achievement. Like, if you compare the wage bills of Pauk, who were the Greek champions in 2019, somewhere between 30 and 40 times the wage bill at Bose. So that kind of puts last night into a touch of context.
Yeah, and I think Pauker like 70 something in the FIFA coefficients, and Bowes languishing in the low 300s. What they achieved last night is utterly remarkable. It's probably their best home victory in Europe since 1984 when they beat Rangers at Daly Mount Park. Probably the best European result since, I don't know, the 1-0 away to Kaiserslautern, or the win away to Aberdeen during the days of Roddy. It was fantastic. And to be honest with you, I was very, like, for all of the wanting to lead with it and all that kind of stuff last night, I was very skeptical of their ability to pull off a result. And the first 5 minutes had me very worried last night, because Pauk, technically a very complete team. They're shot through at internationals. Shinji Kagawa was in there. Nelson Oliveira got the goal laid on. And there are other Portuguese and Greek and Serbian internationals. Zivkovic as well is in there too. And Bowes were wobbling. And Bowes looked like this occasion and this team might get to them. But they dug in. They didn't concede in those first 10 minutes. And the goal took me a little bit by surprise, the opening goal. The second one certainly did. And to come away with a victory is just remarkable. But testament to the work that Keith Long has put in there, that Trevor Crawley has put in there too, and that the players have too. I mean, there was a brilliant tweet put out by the club earlier on today that showed that Ross Tierney and Dawson Devoy and their others have come through both sides, both underage sides that have already played in Europe. I mean, they played in the UEFA Youth League a couple of years ago, and they played against Mitchell and they played against Pauk, and they're now getting the reward for the hard work and the dedication and just the general skill that these players have. Like, there are two great players in that midfield in Ross Tierney and Dawson Devoy who won't be long for the SSE or Tristy League, because they are that good. Their ceiling is really, really high. They've brought in players like you alluded to there, like Ali Coote, who has performed well. This is what they've been great at too. They've looked at players who've done well in the league and brought them in. Ali Coote is one. Georgie Kelly, who'd underperformed, I think, at St. Pat's and Dundalk up until this point, and has been a revelation this series, so, or this season even. So it's just been completely on the up, under no illusions of where Bowes are, because the league table bears that out more accurately than any European one will do. But this, for the club, for the money and the interest it can generate, is just amazing.
Yeah. Now, you'd still probably make Pauk favourites to turn this around at home and sort themselves out and do all that. But even chatting to Dan, Will, he's made the point a few times, and we made it again, I suppose, in our conversation, that the League of Ireland is becoming a more technical league. And unlike in previous years, where very, very strong League of Ireland sides would go to Europe and play in a different way to how they might play domestically, we're now seeing League of Ireland sides play domestically in a similar way to how they might play in Europe. And they're more suited to European football increasingly. So you kind of hope, without, you know, going crazy and throwing unmeetable expectations out there, you would kind of hope that Irish teams increasingly now will compete in Europe and do okay in Europe and do well in Europe and make money out of Europe, and Irish football could take a bit of a leap, you would hope, over the next decade or so. Because there is no doubt we are seeing a more technical league, a better suited league to Europe.
Well, look, there's massive financial reward in terms of what Bohemians, Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers are doing currently. I think it's estimated Bohemians at this stage have earned in excess of €800,000 in prize money for the results that they've had so far. If they were to get to the playoff round, that would jump substantially again. And you're talking about more than €1 million in revenue purely from this run in Europe this season. Like, as Richie was saying, Devoy is one of the best footballers, one of the best passers that I've seen technical-wise in this league in recent seasons. And he has looked completely at home in the qualifiers so far. In fact, that kind of pace of game seems to suit his game really well. And Bohemians last night, I thought for an hour, maybe 70 minutes, played some really good football. They did look a little bit tired in the closing stages, but I wouldn't agree with the Pauk coach who said afterwards that it was a bit of a smash and grab and that it was an unfair result. Like, I thought Bohemians were maybe unlucky not to take a 2-goal lead after the game to take to Salonika next week in front of 20-odd thousand people. It's going to be a big step up in standard, as Keith Long said, but they're the first League of Ireland team to win 4 games in a row in Europe, which is a remarkable achievement. And what a record they have at the Aviva Stadium. We wondered if it was going to be a disadvantage not to be able to play at Daly Mount Park, but they've won 3 games in a row now at the Aviva. They've knocked out Dudelange, who are a very decent team who've played in the group stages of the Europa League in recent seasons. Here they are now up against a Pauk team who played in the Europa League 2 years ago as the champions of Greece. And Bohemians didn't look at all out of place last night. It was a really, really good performance. Up there with, you know, your Shelburne against Deportivo, some of Dundalk's recent performances against the likes of Bade Borisov and away to Poznan. Bohemians were really, really good last night. It's not just Richie hype, I can assure you.
Well, Richie has booked in his PCR test, his antigen test. He's getting on that flight. He's going to turn up in Greece one way or another. So, no, it's great.
I did actually check price flights last night. There was a brief moment of madness where I was like, how much is it? Let's just out of interest next Thursday to go to Thessaloniki. And was reasonable enough, I have to say. So there was a temptation, but I shall be ensconced here bringing the nation the latest score from the game instead.
On the money side of things, Joe, I can't believe that between Richie and I, we spent €20 plus VAT to listen to Stephen Doyle of our own parish last night.
Oh, and the commentary.
Oh, yeah.
He's very good.
And sorry, it was €20 just to get the game?
Tenner each.
Tenner each, sorry. Just to get the game. So it didn't come as part of the ongoing package that was online for a time, no.
No, it's a separate LOI TV presentation. So there are plenty of arguments, and I saw people making them today about the fact that these games should be on TV. Yeah. I would say the broadcasters, when you see how well the Irish clubs have done so far, and you know maybe Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers can do well over the next 24 hours too, they'll really regret it if these teams get to within a sniff of the Conference League. Say if one or two of the teams was to get to the next round and they were to draw a particularly big European team, it'd be probably big regret by the broadcasters at that point.
Yeah, true. I did see Stephen Doyle walking around in a three-piece suit with a pep in his step earlier. So look, times are good for Irish football. The news round is brought to you by Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Like I said, Dan McDonald this hour with his thoughts on Bows last night, Rovers and Dundalk in action this week, and the Jack Grealish news. And Harry Kane, I suspect, will come up as well in our conversation. Matt Williams and Rory O'Connor after 8 o'clock. Jack Woolley after 9 is a really good interview. Spoke to Jack Woolley earlier on. He's an incredibly impressive 22-year-old. So really good show coming your way this evening. We will start with the Olympics then, Rich. A more low-key day today, was it?
Yeah, a little bit. There was no individual show jumping medal as we may have hoped for Ireland at the Olympics today. Kian O'Connor and Kilkenny just missed out on the medal jump off due to a time fault in his otherwise faultless run. Bertram Allen and Pacino Omiro finished 15th, and Dara Kenny and Cartel were 17th. O'Connor and Kilkenny have pulled out of Friday's team event. The 9-year-old horse suffered a nosebleed towards the end of today's round and will be rested as a precaution. Kilkenny was inspected by the on-site veterinary team and Team Ireland's chief vet as well, and returned to his stable in a comfortable state. On her Olympic debut, Tanya Watson qualified for the semi-finals of the women's 10-metre platform diving. The 19-year-old placed 16th among the 18 qualifiers, and Watson returns to the Aquatic Centre for that semi-final at 2 a.m. And Leona Maguire will go into the second round of the women's golf, 5 off the lead on level par. Stephanie Meadow begins the day on 1 over par. Sweden's Magdalene Sagström heads the field on 5 under. While another world record fell at the Olympic Stadium this morning, Sydney McLaughlin shaved nearly half a second off her previous best in claiming gold in the women's 400 metre hurdles. The American sprinter ran a new world's best time of 51.46 seconds, with Saleh Mohammed second in 51.58. An incredible race that. Bronze went to the Dutch sprinter Femke Bol, while Canada's André de Grasse claimed the men's 200 metres in a time of 19.62 seconds. The men's 800 went to Kenya's Emmanuel Kipkuri Korir, while Uganda's Peru's Chemutai won gold in the women's 3000 metre steeplechase.
400 metres hurdles, Will, is where it's at. I don't know what you were watching over the last 24 hours Olympics wise. I have not seen much in the last 24 hours. I have no sense of what's been going on.
Yeah, if you haven't seen them, go back and watch both the women's and men's 400
metres
hurdles.
Yeah, the men's extraordinary.
The men's, you're talking about like a smash record by Warholm yesterday. He was in fantastic form going to the Olympics anyway, where his own world record had been set just about a month ago in Oslo before he travelled to Tokyo. But again, like, you had the two American athletes fighting it out in the 400 metres women's final. And Sonia Sullivan's take on TV was that what McLaughlin did was actually probably more impressive than what we saw in the men's final, you know, given that she absolutely obliterated the field. Like, it's very clear this is a fast track because we've looked at the records over the last few days and the fact that they're consistently being broken, and that in some cases personal bests and world records and finals are not enough even to medal, such has been the speed of some of the races. That is going to naturally, I would say, lead to some cynicism about the lack of testing that's been taking place in a COVID-19 year leading into these games. But the times have just been remarkably quick. We've had some really good finals on the track so far. I've tried to vary my watching up, Joe, to be honest. I've had a focus because I've been working on the morning shift on watching the Irish athletes, and I was glued to the show jumping earlier. Like, unfortunately for Kian O'Connor in particular, he's 400ths of a second away from going for a jump off for a medal, where it would have been a six-way jump off, and you never know what would have happened at that point. It actually went on pretty lengthy afterwards. Dara Kenny was particularly frustrated because he started really well after going around second fast us yesterday, but the minute he knocked defence, he knew that there were no room for error really in that final today. To get to the jump off, he had to go around without a fault and also inside the time, and you could almost see his head drop once he managed to tumble over a fence, and we had high hopes about winning medals there. Like the rock climbing, which I think we spoke about before it took place, got underway yesterday. It's been everything you could have dreamed of. And aside from that, I think I'm probably going to be glued to the golf over the next couple of days to see how Leona Maguire and Stephanie Meadow get on, because after day one, that leaderboard is pretty much stacked. And even the fact that they're at level par and one over respectively, they're definitely not out of contention for a medal.
That's a hell of a statement. The rock climbing is everything you could have dreamed of. Do you want to explain what that means?
Ah, Joe, you have to watch this. Like, did you watch Gladiators as a child or a teenager, firstly?
Yeah.
Right, okay. You remember the on my first whistle, on my second whistle, they used to have an actual rock climbing section which they had to take part in, which was literally like a vertical wall where you would have to, two people start at the same time and you have to get to the buzzer at the top. First person up wins. That's exactly what the first day of the rock climbing was. It's like, it's almost like the X Games coming into the Olympics, and we've had that with skateboarding and a few other different things, but the rock climbing is engrossing, I promise you.
I swear to God, there, as you said, on my first whistle, on my second whistle, I could taste the Quinsworth pizza and oven chips that were a Malloy staple on a Saturday night.
Oh God, I remember those pizzas.
Great times.
Oh, they were like cardboard.
Your mum would like, no, you can make it yourself, and you'd do it up and you'd put it, wrap it in the cling film, and I guess it tasted nice at the time. That was the Saturday night tradition. Great times. Great times.
Jumpers for goalposts. Jumpers for
goalposts. So you're bringing us some Keith Long then from last night, Rich?
Yeah, Bohemians will take a one-goal lead into Greece next week in the UEFA Conference League. A goal in either half from Ali Koot. Saw Keith Longside beat Greek giants Pauk 2-1 at the Aviva Stadium last night. Nelson Oliveira's late header means Pauk will be heavy favourites for next Thursday's second leg. But Long told Bose TV he was incredibly proud of his side's performance last night.
You know, Pauk are a good side. They're a well-resourced team. You know, they got lots of international players, but I think we showed our quality tonight at times. I think there's more to come in terms of performance. I think we can probably be better in the final third. You know, our decision making, our execution, you know, our final pass in the final third needs to improve. And you know, but I can't be nothing but pleased with the boys, their performance tonight. I don't want to be too critical of them. They were fantastic. And it's a great night, really, for again, you know, a quick turnaround after Thursday.
So, more domestic action this evening?
Yeah, Shelburne can pull level on points with women's national league leaders Piemont tonight. Shell's entertaining Bohemians. Piemont, two winners against DLR Waves last night. Elsewhere, Tralee United faced bottom side Cork City. Both of those games kick off at 7:45. And it is understood that Manchester City are closing in on signing Jack Grealish from Aston Villa for a British record transfer fee. The €117 million deal could be concluded in time for the England midfielder to play for City in Saturday's Community Shield against Leicester. Medical set to be in the works for tomorrow. The fee would surpass the €105 million Manchester United paid to re-sign France midfielder Paul Pogba from Juventus in 2016. Villa have been busy spending money today. Aside from that Grealish deal, they've signed Danny Ings in the last hour from Southampton for an undisclosed fee. The former England striker signed a three-year contract, and Liverpool are set to pocket 20% of whatever fee has come of that deal. Joining Ings at Villa Park is the €30 million Leon Bailey, the Jamaican winger signing from Bayer Leverkusen today.
Yeah, so Grealish to Man City. I note, by the way, you're going with the Euro. I mean, I would just tell you, I need it in sterling to put it into context. I
need that soup, Joe.
£100 million.
I mean, you've gone with €117 million. I just feel £100 million packed more of a punch, no?
£117 million is a bigger number.
Well, that's a fair point. I just need to reference everything in relation to Andy Cole's £7 million.
€7.5 million, but
with and Keith Gillespie. Yeah. That's my starting point with every transfer where I work out what we're talking about here.
Mine is still Dean Saunders €2.9 million from Derby to Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's still the peak of transfer largesse.
Grealish at Man City is a fairly scary thought. I would put it to you, Will, the boy could do quite well there, I think.
Yeah, look, it's an amazing array of talent that they have in the final third, and Grealish only adds to that. He's the fifth most expensive player of all time when you consider the exchange rate and when you consider inflation and all that into account. I think he just nicks into the top five now if he is officially £100 million. Like, you could argue they already have Raheem Sterling, they've already got Phil Foden. It's almost like the England issue of where Grealish fits in. I've got a sneaky feeling that Pep Guardiola will find a place for him in that attack, though. And if they get Harry Kane as well, albeit may mean that they have to spend the bones of 250 million to get both Grealish and Kane in. It's a scary thought. I mean, I'm sure they'll happily then at that point allow Bernardo Silva to leave the club. You know, Sergio Aguero has already left without a contract, and Harry Kane seems the perfect replacement for Sergio Aguero, and Grealish just adds to the scary options that they have. Not only would Manchester City be the runaway favourites to win the Premier League next season, but they'd have to be the runaway favourites to win the Champions League if they get both in.
Yeah, it seems City and Guardiola have been hot on Grealish for a long time. So Miguel Delaney had a piece today which said that back in maybe the November series of internationals, that England played Belgium, and De Bruyne was straight away texting Guardiola saying, you have to sign this kid, you got to sign this guy. And Guardiola, it seems, equally very taken with him. Miguel said Guardiola broke one of his key rules in life, which is no football talk during golf. He broke that when he was playing with some people who'd work with Grealish to get an insight and find out where he might play. So it seems they've been gunning for him and planning for him for a time. So not surprised ultimately that move has come through.
It's a huge step up for Grealish. And that's, I wouldn't necessarily buy the scary moniker that Will has given this deal, because there's a hell of a lot of work for Grealish to do to prove that he is up to that level at Manchester City. And you know, I'm not a great arbiter in these things, but I'd need a bit of convincing that he can make that step up from Villa, because he's a big fish in a medium-sized pond, let's say, at Aston Villa. At City, there's a hell of a lot more work to do. The games are coming quicker and thicker and faster than they would have done at Villa. There's going to be a lot more expected of him, taking out of consideration the transfer fee. And he needs to settle quick. It's a big move for him. It's a big, big move for him. And I would have my doubts over whether he's going to hit the ground running.
I think the other side to that, lads, is that Jack Grealish has been carrying the weight of expectation of being almost a one-man creative unit for Aston Villa in recent seasons. And I think actually having a better supporting cast around him might lead to Grealish actually improving his game. Maybe it'll prove that, you know, he was better when he was the central man at Aston Villa. But I think Grealish having a chance to dovetail with the likes of De Bruyne, Sterling, all the great attacking options that Manchester City have, I think he's really well suited to the style of football that they play. And this hasn't worked out too bad for Aston Villa either. Like, he leaves, they get £100 million. They've invested all pretty much already with Buendia. They've also brought in Bailey and they've brought in Danny Ings. That's the best part of £100 million spent on three pretty good players that are going to upgrade positions for Dean Smith's side. It's one of those rare transfers where everyone seems to win.
We'll see. I'm just thinking Gareth Bale as soon as he said that. That's all I was thinking. So Fred has texted in straight away. I mean, he's talking about rugby. We haven't even mentioned rugby. He says the Lions rugby tour, he wants to get this off his chest, has made it clear rugby as a sport prioritises conservatism and brutishness over risk-taking, creativity and flair. We need real changes and a reassertion of the ref's authority and fallibility and an acceptance of this. The violence requires definitive ethical boundaries. Fred, hell of a text. I'll put that to Matt Williams in some shape or form after 8. Pat was watching the show jumping. Personally, I hate these sports where halfway through, you know the competitor is screwed. Show jumpers were done as soon as they messed up, at least in football. If you concede early, you have a chance to come back. More football, less show jumping is what I say, says Pat. No hurling tonight, lads? Disappointing, to be honest. Yeah, sorry, it's just busy as hell. There's so much going on. So we're going to get to the hurling tomorrow. Full semi-final preview coming your way tomorrow, listener. Noel Connors is booked for starters, and there'll be another guest, TBC. And I know Tommy Welch will be a big part of the weekend coverage as well. Frank says, this Spurs stuff's going to be very anticlimactic when they get stuffed in the second leg. Come on, Rovers, tomorrow. Good man, Frank. And then in Gladiators, Dave wonders from Wexford, did the contestants not get chased by the gladiator and had to hang on to win a point if they were caught or had to reach the top on the wall climbing?
They were chased
first to the top, wasn't it? Yeah, the gladiator would start after them and they had to get to the top before the gladiator.
Yeah,
so it was like Charlene from Liverpool, you will go on my first whistle, you know, Wolf, you will go on my second whistle, and then up the wall Wolf would go.
God, again, the Queensward pizza, it's coming on strong. There's a Pavlov's dog effect there, which is powerful. And then Pete asked the key question, did they store the samples taken during all the Gladiators series for retrospective testing? They did, yeah. Can you imagine? Fellas, we are out of time. Apologies. Will, thank you very much.
Cheers, lads.
Richie, thank you. We are talking to Dan McDonald now.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.